episode two last time I preached. I started a new series, Psalm, on Psalm 23. This is episode two. So episode one was verse one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can you quote that? We practiced saying it last week. Should we say it together? Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, it's fine. It's gone off there. So we were trying to encourage people to get the words, to get them in our heads, to make them just mull around inside us so the truth of those words just influence who we are and how we feel and how we live. In last time, in episode one, I was talking about David and his ongoing relationship with the living God. Something to marvel at, something to rejoice in as we go about our ordinary lives. I know that several people have got the book that this is based on. I know Christine had it, but then since then I think she's bought it and given it out. So if anybody would like to do any of the other episodes in the series, then please let me know, anybody who's read it. And if you have been reading it, you probably will recognise a lot of what I'm going to say this morning. So we're looking at verse 2. I've spent quite a bit of this hot, sweaty week trying to work out whether to read Psalm 23 again or to have a different reading. But you know what? I've gone for Psalm 23. We're going to read it, and we're going to read it together, not just to check that everybody's awake, but do you know it helps? So let's read Psalm 23 together, and then I'll share with you some of the things I've been thinking about. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lovely. Graham, can you leave verse 2 on? There we go. Verse 2. So episode 2, so we're looking at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Do you know when I read that, and I read that he makes me lie down, it's easy to read that as kind of forces. Do you know when you kind of sit down, lie down, and you have to, you know, maybe you've got a dog and you have to manoeuvre it to lie down, or you've got a difficult child and you're trying to, you will lie down, that kind of thing. It's easy to read it like that. But, you know, I don't think that's quite the picture we should have in our minds. It's not about God forcing us, making us. In the contemporary English version of the Bible and the Good News version and the New International Reader's version, it talks about he lets me lie down. Kind of he enables me. He creates the situation that means that I can lie down. And I like that image. Not a mate, not a force, not a you will, but a you can. You are enabled to, you are allowed to. It's possible for you to lie down by creating the right situation. So there's quite a lot in this sermon today about sheep. My sermon today is not about sheep, but there is a lot of sheep in it. It's because to understand more of who God is and what David's saying here, we have to know a little bit more than I knew already about sheep. Okay, but keep in mind, this is not, I don't want you to go home with thousands of facts about sheep and nothing about God. So as we're learning about sheep, keep in mind that what we're learning is telling us more about who God is and how he relates to us and what he does because he's our shepherd. Okay, so I've learnt that sheep don't lie down easily. They're not like the cats we look out for on our way home. When we come off the main road, we go around a little bend and there's a row of terraced houses. And one of the houses has two gorgeous cats in it. And we know they're gorgeous cats because they quite often sprawl on the windowsill. So we have to slow down. We pause, don't we, Emma? Coming around the corner. Thank you. We pause coming around the corner to slow down to see whether the cats are in the windowsill. And often they're there just completely splayed out, and it seems like they're there for hours, just lying there in the sun. Sheep are not like that. Sheep, apparently, will only lie down when they're free from fear, when they're free from tension, like friction with other sheep, when they're free from hunger, and they're free from like aggravations like flies and parasites. So if David is saying that his shepherd enables him to lie down, he's saying because of his shepherd, he is free from those things, and that enables him to lie down. So let's have a look at the sheep and the shepherd's role particularly. So fear. Sheep only lie down if they're not feeling scared. But if they are lying down and something happens, they easily leap up and run, and others follow, even if they don't know why. Seeing one sheep leap up and run away causes a lot of the rest of them to do the same. It could be something they need to run away from, like a predator coming, or it could just be something unexpected. In the book, Philip talks about when his friend came and he got out the car and he had a tiny Pekingese puppy. And the sheep saw the puppy and panicked, and 200 sheep that were resting quietly on the grass leapt up and shot across the field away from this terrifying, tiny Pekingese puppy. It was the shepherd's presence, it was Philip going into the field that brought the sheep back and enabled them to lie down again. It's the shepherd's presence in that moment of fear that calmed them down and allowed them to settle. David's telling us that the presence of the shepherd means that we're not on our own. It's telling us that we can be aware of his presence, bringing calm in challenging and uncertain times. Give you two examples from the Bible. There's loads, aren't there? Loads of times when God says, do not be afraid, fear not. Just give you two. One from Genesis chapter 15. God's making his covenant with Abram right at the beginning when he's saying to him, look, this is what's going to happen. You, this ordinary man, you're going to go out and do this incredible thing. I'm going to do this incredible thing through you for all these people. And God says to Abram, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Might look like something really scary was going to happen, really overwhelming. God's saying, don't be scared, I'm with you. But then let's look at Paul in Acts chapter 18. So Paul, who'd had that dramatic experience with Jesus and then was travelling around telling people about Jesus, and he got in a lot of trouble and a lot of attack for talking about Jesus. Acts chapter 18 says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid, he said. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. It's God's presence that tackles the fear. It's the shepherd's presence with the sheep, telling us that God's presence with us can tackle the fear that we face. The second thing is friction. Every flock has a pecking order. I think they call it a butting order in sheep. So within the order, there's like a ranking of, you know, the top sheep get the best crops and the best grass and the comfiest place to settle down. And there's a lot of defending themselves and jostling for position. It's that kind of thing. Not very settling, can upset digestion, stops them resting and relaxing. But again, do you know what stops it? The shepherd's presence. The shepherd walking into the field stops the sheep from all jostling and pushing for their place. It's a bit like when a parent or teacher comes into a room and there's bits of stuff going on and they're present and it just, hopefully, just kind of stops. You know, we've all been there as children where we've been having a dig with a sibling or something, and then you see one of your parents looking at you and you stop straight away. My dad had a look, still has a look, that could stop us across a room. If I'm not thinking, it probably would still work. But it's the shepherd's presence. Means the sheep are looking at him, not at each other. And that's what brings the calm. And that's what stops them jostling. And that's what allows them to settle down and rest. Philip says in the book, when my eyes are on my master, they not on the people around me. That's the place of peace. When our eyes are on Jesus, we're less consumed by the opinions of those around us. We spend less time maintaining our status, trying to justify ourselves, trying to create good impressions. We can be more content with who God has made us. And it's interesting to note that the less aggressive sheep are often the more contented, perhaps because they're not wasting their energy on things that are less important. So the presence of the shepherd allows the sheep to be at peace with themselves and each other. Thirdly, aggravations, flies, etc., can get all different bits of the sheep up their noses and things and can make them, you know, it's like when you've got a bite somewhere and it just makes you feel all itchy and irritable. Sheep use their energy to deal with them. It takes the shepherd's care to notice the changes in the sheep, to see what's going on, to notice the detail, and to provide remedies to sort it out. I'm going to talk a bit more about that later on in the series. I think we could all say that we all face aggravations at times, especially when the weather's hot, when sleep's disturbed, when we've got lots of things on our mind, when we've got a big list of things to do, when we've got situations that we don't quite know how to tackle. David is saying that our shepherd notices us, that he knows how we feel, and he knows how to help. Do you know, last week in church, we had three people called Abigail. And during the week, we've had four people with a birthday on the same day. But yet God, our God, knows us all as individuals. Not a blanket kind of knowledge of us, but an individual knowledge. Whoever we are, whatever our name, whenever our birthday. Our shepherd knows us, and he notices us, and he knows how to help. Fourthly is hunger. And a hungry, ill-fed sheep is always looking for food. A well-fed sheep can rest and thrive. Many of the great sheep countries, including where David kept his flocks, are dry, semi-arid areas. Not lush green grass, not like lots of our areas where there's loads of lovely places we can go and admire the countryside and sit on some lovely grass. Where David was a shepherd was more likely to be hot and thorny and dusty. So when David's talking about being in green pastures, he's describing a shepherd who has found or cultivated an exceptional place. He can provide for them. He can give them what they need. That takes knowledge and effort and commitment. That's our shepherd. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he provides. Do you know, all this reminds me of Emma stroking Dachshunds. You'll know that Emma likes dogs, but has a particular liking for Dachshunds. Now, Dachshunds, you know, are very low to the ground, and we've developed a strategy, so you have to go low, and you go in calm, and that's your best chance of stroking a Dachshund. But, you know, however good we are, and we're good, we're well-practiced, aren't we, Emma? We're very, very well-practiced in stroking Dachshunds. However well-practiced we are, there are some that when we go down and go low and calm and we go close, you can see them thinking, oh, I'm not sure about this. And they back away and they tuck as close as they can to their owner, sometimes even kind of round behind. Sometimes, if we're really fortunate, the owner picks the Dachshund up and then we get to have a really lovely stroke. And we can do that because the Dachshund feels safe. It feels looked after. It knows it's secure because it's there, held by its owner, and that means we get to have our stroke. We've not changed. We're still there. We're still invading his little space. The difference is the owner's presence and the trust the Dachshund has for the owner to keep him safe, look after him. That's our shepherd. That's a slightly different version. The Lord is my Dachshund owner. Not quite as catchy, is it? That's a different picture, but the same thing. It's the presence, it's the shepherd's presence that allows, enables, creates a situation that means the sheep can be relaxed and thrive and feel safe. I wonder if you're experiencing fear or aggravations or hunger or strife at the moment. I encourage you to look for the shepherd who brings peace and calm and hope. This isn't about a list of things. This isn't a top three, do these things and everything will change. This is an invitation to look for the one whose presence and care make a difference to our lives. Let's say that first bit together. Are you ready? He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's me besides quiet waters. He makes me lie down. He enables me to feel safe. His presence, his care, what he does enables me to feel safe. Let's look at the second bit then. He leads me beside quiet waters. How much time this week have you spent thinking about cool water? Having your feet in a paddling pool? Having your glass of water with you all the time? Several of my schools this week have had water fights. Sadly, not when I was there, but I've heard about them and seen the fun that they've had having a fight with the water this week to try and stay cool. A bit more about sheep. Sheep are 70% water, apparently, and they need water for their vitality, their vigour, and their strength. Thirsty sheep are restless, but also sheep are really nervous if they've got the wrong kind of water. So if it's fast flowing, which lots of the water where David was a shepherd would have been, they get really nervous because they don't have to have a lot of water for their fleeces to get so heavy that they can't, that they drown. Or they get swept away by fast-flowing water. So where David was a shepherd, fast-flowing water, much more common. So finding quiet, calm water that the sheep felt confident to go and have a drink from took considerable effort and was a real treat. It was up to the shepherd to find that suitable water and provide the best for them. Either because he'd found a nice, gentle stream, or because he was up and about early and he got them out on the field, so there was the dew on the grass. They could eat the grass but get the dew, and that was the water that they needed. But that meant the shepherd had to be up early and get them there in the right place. That's the shepherd putting a lot of effort in again. Or the shepherd might take them down into deep wells that he'd found or underground caverns. But they had to be led, and the sheep had to trust the shepherd to follow down a dark place into an underground well. Shepherds in David's time led from the front. The sheep had to follow behind. Do you know there'd always be some sheep who maybe didn't quite trust the shepherd or got a bit frustrated on the way because they could see dirty water on the way past or could see water, but not the best water. Always some sheep who would stop and drink out of those puddles. Perhaps not have the best water, settle for second best because it was there. Jeremiah chapter 2, at the beginning, when God's explaining where the people are going wrong, he says, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold water." They turned away from God. They'd settled for something nowhere near as good. How often do we settle for less than God's best? How often do we want a quick answer? Or we try to want to sort it out ourselves because we don't want help? How often do we listen to the world's opinions, the world's advice, the world's lies, and we settle for that instead of listening to the best that God has for us? Like thirsty sheep, I think it leaves us restless and unsatisfied. Jesus makes a different offer. John chapter 7, on the last and greatest day of the festival in Jerusalem, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That's a bold claim from Jesus. That's not offering a muddy puddle, or a bit of tepid water, or a bottle that's been in the car for days and has got all warm and sweaty. That's Jesus offering us the very best, cool, refreshing, exactly what we need. Come to me and drink his offer. It's an offer to take it in, to accept what he has, to believe in who he says he is. All this speaks to me of the shepherd's care and the presence. The shepherd's presence helps the sheep to be able to lie down, which represents resting, thriving, being satisfied. The shepherd provides quiet waters, the best refreshment for them to help them to thrive. Do you remember what I said right at the beginning? You might leave today with some more knowledge about sheep. Might have some information that will help you on a quiz sometime. Maybe. That's not the aim of what we're doing today. I'd rather you went away with an increased sense of the difference that God's care, his presence, his provision makes in our lives, our individual lives, our individual situations, the individual challenges that we're facing. This is not about what we know about sheep. This is what we know about God and who he is and how much effort he puts into caring for us and loving us and knowing us and never letting us go. So whether you know him well already or you're getting to know him, whether life is easy at the moment and straightforward or whether it's challenging, whether you're full of hope or full of fear, I pray that you'll leave feeling encouraged with a renewed sense of looking for his presence and inviting him into your situation and trusting in his love and his care for you. Let's say it together one more time. Are you ready? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Amen. I encourage you to learn it, to have it in your mind. But as you read it, as you hear it, as you see it, picture what the shepherd does. Now you know a bit more about the sheep, you can picture a bit more fully who God is and what he does. We're going to, this is a bit of a challenge for everybody, I think. We're going to sing a nice, calm, quiet song. We're going to sing Still. So I encourage you to stand up. We're going to listen and sing, join in and just enjoy being in God's presence together. Let's stand and sing together. So, this is the really challenging bit of the service, I think. We're going to be still. I know some people that find that's really uncomfortable, but I just feel that we need to be still. We need to receive from God. We need to experience his love for each of us. So I'm going to read a short passage from Ephesians, and then we're going to just take time to rest and be with God. Now, I know that in the still and the quiet, when some of us have our eyes closed, I know what might happen. Let me tell you what a monk said to me once. A monk said to me, we'd gone on a retreat as students, and he said, if you fall asleep while you're praying, don't feel guilty, because you only fall asleep with people you feel comfortable with. That's what he said. If you're going to snore, then that's a different matter. But we're going to just have a few minutes of resting with God. Now, while you're resting, you might, in your mind, you might see some pictures of things. Sometimes God speaks to us through pictures, which may make real complete sense to you or may just take a little bit of thinking about. You might find some physical sensations in your body. Sometimes, I was going to say, something might feel hot. That's all of us feeling hot, isn't it? But something might just feel a little bit different. My eyelids quite often just flutter really, really fast when I experience God's presence. You might find Bible verses coming to your mind or words of songs. There might be things that God is wanting to say to you as a reminder, as an encouragement, as a, come on now, don't be scared, or this is the truth that you need to hear. You might find you experience just a sense of courage or hope or joy building up inside you. You might find you're giving to God something from last week that you need some healing, some restoration for. You might just enjoy sitting quietly with nobody wanting anything from you for a few minutes. God speaks to us as individuals. He knows our name, however many of us there are with the same name. He knows us in detail, individually. So, we're going to take a chance. We're going to rest with God. Let me read to you. So let us pray. Let's read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, each one of us, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Lord God, as we take time to be still, we ask you to speak to us of how you love us. Help us to grasp some of your love for us. Help us to know it's for each of us individually, whoever we are, whatever our week has been like. Help us to hear your voice, to recognize what you are saying to each of us as our shepherd, about how you care for us, how you love us, how you provide for us. Lord God, we say thank you for the love that you have for each one of us that doesn't end, that doesn't change. Thank you that you want us to experience that love. I pray as we go into this week that we can hear you and see you and recognize the ways that you are showing us how you love us and care for us and provide for us. And Lord, I pray that that knowledge will help us to face all the things we face. Not on our own, but with you. And I pray that what we experience will give us something to share with others whose paths cross ours this week, who also need to know that you love them and that your presence will help them in their situations. Thank you, Lord God, that you speak to us in different ways. us to hear you. Help us to know and recognise your voice. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to close our service. We're going to sing My Jesus. It's about sharing who he is, but also sharing it with others. Stand and sing it together.